This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
And it is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, toyotaofhollywood.com.
Thank you, Woody, and good morning to everybody. Yeah, you heard good win for the Panthers last night. The Heat out of it and just got their butts kicked. We'll talk a lot about that during the show. But also, we're fresh off the NFL draft, one of the greatest parties and shows we've ever seen. A guy that was right in the middle of it, Charles Davis, path to the draft, NFL Network, on the coverage for 3 days, NFL on CBS analysts as well. And I start this morning with my good friend asking, what was it like to see 200,000 people at a draft party at Lambeau? That's unbelievable.
Yeah. Joe, it is unbelievable, isn't it? And I have to tell you, since the league started making it a road show, right? Because remember, for all those years, it's Radio City Music Hall. And, you know, that's finite number of people that can be in the hall, right? It's New York City, so you can't just have people just in the streets and all places like that. So it's a little bit different vibe. And that was a good vibe. Let's not kid ourselves. If it was still there doing that, it'd still be a good vibe. But when they made the move to start taking it out on the road and watching that grow from a little bit of uncertainty in the beginning, like, really, we're doing this? This is okay. First 2 years in Chicago, some bad weather 1 year. Oh, is this? And then all of a sudden it just kept growing and growing and growing. I have to tell you, every time I look out now, the first day, I look out and I see the people. You know what I think? Pete Rozelle, who was an incredible commissioner and helped usher in the NFL into amazing growth and put us on the path to where we are today, when he was told, when they came in and told him, hey, we'd really like to televise the draft, ESPN, you know, and he was like, who would watch that?
Yeah, wow.
That was Pete Rozelle's reaction. And he finally said, yeah, sure, fine. He said, but, you know, no one's going to watch this. Like, yeah. Why would anyone watch this? I'm sure wherever he is now looking at it, he's like, this is unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what.
I can't believe this at all.
Charles, the stories that come out of it, and this one, this is a unique one. I know you've been beating it up for days, and I heard you for 3 days on the coverage with NFL Network, and you guys do a great job on that. But the Shedeur Sanders, and by the way, as I have found over the last couple of days since the draft, all the FM stations and Women in the Morning, everybody's aware of it, wants to know what happened, what's behind it. And I know, you know, because what has happened is a lot of the media members that do this, the insiders, and you've been doing it as an insider, and the NFL apparently had a big disagreement on where Shedeur Sanders should go in this draft and the reasons why. What was your final take after having a few days to digest it?
Yeah, Joe, I think I'm still learning what my final take is because I'm still getting information and hearing different things. But as we sit here right now, the more you hear, you will hear you hear a lot of different things. But the way I boiled it down is simply this. We on the outside rated his talent a certain way. Those on the inside, 32 teams, their consensus was different. You know, I think all of us had him really as the second quarterback, probably a first rounder.
Yes.
Who might it be? That sort of a thing. The league told us, we weren't so sure about that. We're not saying that he wasn't a first rounder, but we're definitely not saying he was. So that was in the eye of the beholder. I talked to someone yesterday, a personnel director, and I said, all right, we've known each other for a long time. I need the absolute truth on this one. Where did you guys have him on your board? And he said, third to fifth round.
Wow.
I said, oh, okay. Now, I've not done a 32-team poll, but that was very interesting to me, third to fifth round,
right?
Because he went in the fifth. So all these things come into play. You hear that maybe he tanked interviews on purpose because there were teams he didn't want to go to. You also hear teams that just go, he did a lousy job in the interview. There were certain things that didn't happen. I think Albert Breer, who writes about the league so well with Sports Illustrated, he gave two examples in his latest article, I think yesterday, about, you know, one team sent him stuff. It's almost like draft day, Joe.
Yeah.
When they sent him the playbook and, you know, he didn't turn in the $100 bill or what have you.
Right.
You know, that sort of thing. This one, they said they sent him stuff with obvious errors in there that you're supposed to catch as a quarterback. And when it came time to talk about, he had not caught them or said he didn't see them or whatever. And they were very, you know, they kind of jumped on him for it. And he didn't like it very much. That was one story. And then there was another story about something else that had happened at a place. And he wasn't thrilled with the place. And he suggested to them, hey, you know, I don't know if you and I are a match anyway. He's telling them that. So you get that one that went. You got Boomer Esiason, my former colleague at CBS, who mentioned on his show yesterday that there were three different teams that he talked to where the owners told them to take him off the board. We're not dealing with him.
Yeah.
So all this is swirling around.
Yeah.
Joe, all I'm saying is I know it's a lot, and after a while people keep saying, I'm tired of hearing about Shador. But something you said early in this is the one that I have to think I want people to really focus on. People were asking about him that weren't connected to this thing in any tangible form. And I'll leave it with this. A friend of mine that I literally grew up with, we were in the sandbox together in New Paltz, New York. We graduated high school together. We've remained friends all the way through. You know, you have that group of friends you still have.
Yeah.
He texted me yesterday. He's on vacation out of the country. And he said he heard from his mother while he's on vacation out of the country that she said that she decided to not go to her weekly dominoes game on Friday because she didn't know what was going to happen with Shador Sanders, and now she was locked in. And by the way, it's the first draft she's ever watched. I have no explanation, Joe.
Yeah,
I really
don't. I got a lot of that, too. I got that from the ladies in my life were like, did he go yet? What happened? What do you think's going on? And I'm like, when did you get so into the draft? And by the way, the numbers for the draft for you guys is, well, as the ESPN, everybody's numbers were so far up. It was just crazy. I got to ask you about another guy, and we chewed up a lot of time on that one.
Yeah, sorry about that.
No. It's a hot topic. The other one, quietly, is a guy the Dolphins got in the seventh round as a quarterback who played for Texas, Quinn Ewers. I thought he was a second or third round pick when he decided, nah, I may not be a first round pick, but I'm coming out. I know they're getting Arch Manning ready. And I know that he had some great offers for him to come back, probably $4 or $5 million offers to be a starting quarterback for another teams.
Yeah, and it just tells you about the quarterback market, because we were just talking about where did – you know, this team have Shador rank. Where did that team have Shador rank? Yada, 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 right on down the line. It feels like it was across the board that maybe people weren't quite sure where the quarterbacks should go. We knew it wasn't a huge quarterback year compared to the year before, but this one was really all over the boards. You know, look, I didn't have Quinn Ewers going in the second or third round.
Okay.
I didn't have him going in the seventh either. Yeah. Okay, so that just, you know, again, this is me on the outside. I'm not a team doing the full – you know, full-scale scouting. But I don't know if this is a miss on his group's part. I don't know if he really was like, I don't care what the number is, I'm coming out,
true.
I'm going. Because, Joe, he wasn't going back to Texas even if he stayed. That was done. That ship had sailed.
Sure. Yep.
It was time for him to move, time for Arch Manning to play. But as you pointed out, across the country, if he had said, you know, I'd like to stay in school, he could have gotten Carson Beck money and maybe more. There's no telling. And I know this. After what happened at my alma mater, wherever he had gone,
good point.
He might have been able to make a double jump and go right to Tennessee, because I'm pretty sure we would have been up for writing a pretty good check at that point.
No.
So he's gonna make, he would have made more money back in school than he's gonna make as a seventh round pick. But if he hits somehow, he could make that money back by becoming a starter in the league. Although right now, when you're a seventh round pick,
that's a road to get there.
That's a tough one.
Yeah. Hey, so if you don't mind, I'm gonna go through the Dolphin stuff because people.
Sure.
We go early, big, the two biggest players in the history for the Miami Dolphins for first and second round. They went one guy big on defense and Kenneth Grant and Savanea. Yeah,
yeah.
I butchered it. I knew that was going to happen this morning.
I'm not sure I nailed it. Between the two of us, his family will give us both lessons.
Yeah.
We'll
okay. I'm going to have it down by the time everybody gets moved down here. But
yeah.
What'd you think of their first two picks?
Just what you mentioned, big, big people. Grant, really liked him a lot. Played next to Mason Graham. That's just a tough, tough road if you try to run the ball inside at Michigan. It makes sense. You know, he's a big-time player. He was going to go first round. This is not one of those, wow, the Dolphins took him and no one else would have. Someone was taking it. Plenty of people were. 13, look, that seems to be the perfect range for him. I think that's about when the bidding would start and take you all the way through, you know, 17 to 20, whatever. Savanea, second round. Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of first-round talk about him, Joe. He was a left tackle a lot of the time at Arizona. But moving inside the guard is where his future is. That's where life is going to be good for him. A big, massive, huge man to go inside. Yeah. I think that's the best part where he's attached to people and people on either side of him, and that helps him. I think it helps him in a big way. So I like those two.
All right. So then the Dolphins, because of trading up with Jonah to get him in, moving up at 37 to get him in the second round. So now they wipe out their picks and they come back in the fifth. Nothing in three or four and come back with Jordan Phillips, defensive tackle from Maryland. What'd you think? Obviously, they need some help on the D-line because Calais Campbell decided to go to Arizona.
Yeah, he's a guy, a Tennessee transfer, and he has that scouting term, grade the flashes, and he's got some good flashes. You know, you'll see a lot of plays. I looked at him as a guy who likes to jump around a lot, like jump around blocks, get into the backfield, make big plays. I think he needs some consistency at the point of attack. You know, Jason Marshall, the fifth round corner out of Florida, was a massive high school recruit.
Right,
like massive. All right, one of the top ones out there. Played in the SEC, obviously, so you know he's dealt with people who can run routes and do things. So getting him in the fifth, that seems about right. Dante Trader's a guy that I was crazy about in the draft, a safety out of Maryland. He's not going to win anything in the numbers game, Joe. Like, you know, when you start quoting numbers of him running, jumping, all that stuff from the combine, people are going to look at you like, what? I just tell them to turn on the tape and watch him play.
Yeah,
wherever
everywhere.
The ball is, Dante Trader's is where the ball is. He's a former lacrosse midfielder, so he sees the game with wide eyes. Like, so he sees the whole field. He understands it. He understands transitions, offense, defense, the whole deal. I just like him, and I thought he was really good the week of the Senior Bowl. But, you know, those guys, a lot of guys get lost at the Senior Bowl because we have a whole week to talk about players, and we can't talk about all of them. But testing-wise, not great. Turn on the tape. Pretty darn good. I'll put it this way. There's a bunch of guys in the league that one-on-one you're not crazy about, but 11-on-11, they play pretty well.
Yeah.
Dante Trader's an 11-on-11 guy.
I know a guy they're crazy about, just talking to some people over the weekend, is a running back out of Oklahoma State, Gordon. What'd you think of that? Had a great year 2 years ago. Last year, the numbers were down. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I really like him a bunch, especially, you know, obviously we're talking about 2 years ago is what you're really, the tape you're really loving. This last year, three different offensive linemen, different from the year before. Things had changed a little bit. His offseason was a little bumpy, got into some trouble, so came into the season, you know, and had to get going there. But sitting down and talking with the young man, we got to interview him a little bit after the season and asked him about the difference between the year and the year before. And Joe never once mentioned, well, you know, the offensive line changed, the blocking wasn't the same, whatever. Just talk about what he didn't get done.
That's good to hear, man. Yeah,
and I really liked him. He's a big back, and I think the more he runs with his pads, which I saw more and more of at Senior Bowl during the week, the better off he's going to be. Because you know the flash and dash in the Dolphins' offense, he can provide a little thump when he runs the ball.
Yeah, that's good stuff. And by the way, they do have to get the running game going. Who'd you like overall when everybody talks about names? Because you're so involved, like you said, with the Senior Bowl. The combine, as well as the NFL draft coverage, and getting a chance to see everybody for so much over the last month. What who won for you? Who'd you like? Whose drafts?
Well, I thought the Patriots had a really good draft. And it's so funny because when you really get down to it with the Patriots, they start to address a ton of needs, and the Patriots have a ton of needs, all right? Talked about it forever. They haven't scared anyone on offense in years. And so they get offense, right, because you got to help out your quarterback. You get Will Campbell at tackle. The offensive line's been abysmal. That's good. Travion Henderson, that's going to help Ramondre Stevenson because Ramondre Stevenson's a really good back, but he's not going to scare you again and break huge runs. Henderson can do that for you. Plus, he can pass protect. Kyle Williams, a wide receiver, Washington State, nice addition, really, really good player. Transfer from UNLV. Jared Wilson, the center from Georgia. Okay, David Andrews is retired. Wilson should start immediately. And safety Craig Woodson at Cal, I think you can compare him back there with Kyle Duggar, like right out of the gate. Joe, I'm talking about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guys that should start right away.
Wow, that's a lot for a draft.
It is, isn't it? Now, in your time, if you'd had 5 rookies start right away, your team was headed for 3 in whatever season, right?
Yeah.
It's not like that now, because you can turn things around quickly. Guys are a little more precocious, can play. I think New England is immediately better. Are they going to win the division? No. Are they going to go to playoffs? I don't think so. But they're immediately better, and in 2 seasons they're going to be off. I'm not going to say they're going to be off the charts, but they'll be good. And I'll leave it with this. They also still have the remnants of Bill Belichick drafting there, because you know who they drafted? Kicker out of Miami, Andres Borjalis.
Right. Yeah, Borjalis, good kicker.
Yep. And then they drafted a long snapper out of Vanderbilt, Julian Ashby. I started to laugh. I just said, they're still the Patriots.
Yeah.
But they had holes everywhere, including kicker and long snapper. So I like their draft a lot. And one guy I liked in particular for Baltimore was their first-round pick, Malachi Starks, the safety. I thought he was the best safety in the draft. Nick Emanuori won the combine at safety, and so everybody thought he was the top safety. But the league spoke. You know, we're talking about the league spoke with Shedeur Sanders. The league spoke here because Starks went in the first round. All those years we thought he was the top guy, thought he'd been bypassed. He wasn't. He went in the first round. Emanuori went in the second. So that tells me that on the boards, again, Starks was still the top guy. But you know the term in Baltimore, play like a Raven. They love that term.
Yep.
Malachi Starks plays like a Raven. I mean, absolutely fits their profile perfectly.
Boy, Baltimore's just got great safeties all the time. Oh, my God. Yep. They got that safety thing figured out. Hey,
he'll play center field, and Kyle Hamilton will play near the line of scrimmage, and that'd be a heck of a pairing right there.
Charles, I got one last question. I'll let you go.
Sure.
We talk about this all the time. It's been going on forever. Would you run your 40 in and the 40-yard dash? And now, I'm actually watching NFL Network the day that University of Miami, the Cam Ward show, and it was delayed. Yep. It was all day. I was like waiting, and I was like, and the 40-yard dash comes up with Xavier Restrepo, who did everything possible in college, as much as anybody. Separation, block, route running. He decides to run a 40. He runs a 4.83.
Yeah, that was stunning.
And doesn't
absolutely
get drafted.
Stunning.
He didn't get drafted. I was shocked.
Yeah, it was stunning. All I would tell him, if I were in his camp and he's not going to, why would he listen to me? Remember Antoine Bolden?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, one of the toughest, nastiest,
good
receivers we saw. He ran 4.81. Ran 4.81. And then he caught 100-something balls in rookie year and never looked
crazy.
Back.
Crazy, yeah.
Just go somewhere, run your routes, young man, catch the football like you do. The position he plays, the slot, we really use the term quicker than fast.
Right.
That's what you want out of your slot. Your slot does not have to be a flat-out flyer. He needs to be a dart. And Xavier Restrepo is a dart. And if he just goes in, does his thing, do all the things right, catch the football, all the stuff he's done before, he will have that opportunity. I'm not sure. Did he sign someone?
Yeah, he went with Cam Ward. He went with Tennessee right away. Cam brought his guy.
To me, that is a great, great spot because that's a place that they have not solved the slot receiver spot in a lot of years. And it was supposed to have been Kyle Phillips out of UCLA a few years ago. He kept getting hurt, never really worked out. They kept bringing in people last year. Those people are all gone. This is a great opportunity for him, and it's an organization that is thirsty for them to be good again.
Yep.
He will not be judged because he wasn't drafted. He will be judged if he does a good job on the field, and they will have no problem keeping an undrafted free agent if he makes plays.
So let me ask you, if you have a great year, and you don't think you're going to run a 40, do in today's game, do you decide and tell the pros you're not going to run it? Are you better off doing that?
I think in most cases you are, but, Joe, it is really hard to avoid as a receiver unless you are flat out hurt and you have the great doctor's medical report.
Yeah.
I think I told you this before. I had a scout tell me one time I was at a pro day and a kid had not run a 40, had not run a 40, said he was, you know, kind of dinged up and what have you. And the scouts were like, we got to have a 40 time on him. And he was a tight end. And so what they did was they said, okay, deep ball. And they put, you know, they dropped back. So we're going to throw a few deep balls. And then they put him on the line and said, okay, you're going to run up the seam, go. Just at the snap, just go straight up field. Don't do anything. Just go. And then one scout stood with the quarterback, said, go. And he had scouts on the line of scrimmage, and he had scouts 40 yards away. And the kid had no idea. And they said, go. And he takes off and goes. And the guy behind the quarterback said, hold it, hold it, hold it, throw it.
Wow.
And they make sure and click. And all up walked away with a 40 time.
Wow.
So don't think for a second you're going to totally out foil them.
Yeah, they got it.
And you better be a top-level draft pick to get away with it. Most of the time you're going to have to run it, especially if you're playing a skill position.
Charles, thank you, man. I really appreciate all the time early in the morning. You are an early bird there, bud. I appreciate it. I hope you get some time off. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Joe. You're the best. You take care of yourself. Right. Talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye. Charles Davis joining us this morning. Talk a little bit about all the draft coverage. He just spent 3 days with NFL Network. Appreciate him coming on. We want to go a little bit long, but we got a lot to get to here in South Florida, folks, a lot. So we're going to just tell you real quickly about your South Florida Chevy dealers. Never a bad time to talk about great products. And, boy, South Florida Chevy dealers have never looked better, never had better products than they have right now. I thought 2024 was good. Now the 2025's come in. I go in there. They go, the new Tahoe's in. You want it? I go, heck yes, I want that bad boy. Suburban's right there. And then, man, I got in the midsize SUVs. I was looking at the all-new Equinox, and it's got so much to offer. To the 2025 Traverse, all that space. The 2025 midsize SUV is unbelievable. Spacious and comfortable, seating for everybody, plenty of room for everyone's cargo, that turbocharged 2.5 liter, and an unbelievable look. Hey, look, you want it to look good. Let's always start with that. Then you get everything else that's so important to you. Check out the trucks, man. Silverado trucks, strong, durable. Silverado trucks is what we're talking today. So you got heavy loads you work with every day, man. That's how you make a living, sometimes even on Saturday and Sunday. Well, they got a lot of choices for you. Four strong options, each one delivering commanding power, roll-formed high-strength steel, impressive cargo volume, 12 standard tie-downs, and the hardest-working bed in the business. Hey, you can conquer all your toughest jobs with 14 dealerships throughout South Florida. See your South Florida Chevy dealers today for outstanding offers going on right now.